producer has set up all the interviews for today. We are joined by Anna Arenheim, a reporter from the Jerusalem Post, and in her better days has now been seen on a tour of both the Lebanese border and of the Golan Heights, according to her Twitter account. And Anna, can you tell us a little bit about your work with the Post and about your most recent trip up to the north of Israel?
Well, I'm the military reporter for the Post. I cover everything about defense, the IDF, the region, the conflict. And I'm actually just returning again from the Lebanese border. I've been going up several times this week. On the one hand, to cover 20 years since the Israeli withdrawal from South Lebanon. On the other hand, to see what has Hezbollah been up to in the past 20 years.
So let's talk about this for a second. Hezbollah and Israel have gone nearly 14 years without a major armed conflict. There's been some tit-for-tat attacks, but no substantial outbreak of violence. How has the battlefield changed since 2006, and what do you think the next war is going to look like?
Well, the battlefield has completely changed on both sides. I would just like to say that there has been significant outbursts of violence between the two. If we look at September of just this year, when Hezbollah fired three anti-tank missiles, and one of them almost hit an IDF ambulance, and that was a huge outbreak of violence that we hadn't seen in years. And that just shows the capabilities of Hezbollah, because for close to 14 years, Hezbollah only responded or only attacked Israeli troops in the Mount Dov Sheba Farms area. But recently, Hassan Nasrallah, the Secretary General of Hezbollah, said, if you're striking our operatives in Syria, in Lebanon, we're not going to just hit you in the Sheba Farms area. We're going to hit you wherever we want along the border. And that's a significant change. And we can also see, if we look at Syria, they weren't there in 2006. And now there's, you know, the Syrian civil war and all of the battlefield knowledge that they gained from the Iranians, from the Russians. And that is what's going to happen and really affect the next war. We're going to see not just one front, not just a Lebanese front explode, but we're going to see the entire northern front from the Mediterranean Sea all the way to the Hermon. It's going to be one big war.
So let's get specific for a second about Hezbollah's capabilities, and specifically its missile arsenal, that it's improved dramatically, to your point, because of Iranian assistance. Compared from 2006 until today, in terms of range and accuracy, and more so, have Israel's air defenses kept pace with these improvements?
Hezbollah is estimated to have around 130,000 rockets of different ranges and payloads, ranges that can even reach Dimona. And that's pretty far from Lebanon, a range that we didn't see in 2006. Now, Israel, of course, like you said, our air defenses have been improving on a year-to-year basis, but it's not ever 100%. So all, if you take the Iron Dome, the famed Iron Dome, the David Sling, the Arrow system, if you take all of these, you're still going to have rockets landing in Israel, deep in the home front. Even some, the IDF is concerned, might be precision missiles. Missiles that can hit within 5 meters of the target. And so Israel is very concerned about that. And that's something that they've been working very hard to try to stop those capabilities. Because not only are they working in Lebanon on those capabilities, they're also working in Syria. And there's been a bunch of reports about how Iran has been helping Hezbollah work on that precision missile project. And Israel has been going in with its War Between War campaign specifically in Syria to stop that. And we've seen this campaign really up its ante in the past few weeks in Syria.
Now, that's its air arsenal? What about its ability to strike out at Israel's newfound natural gas supply in the Mediterranean Sea?
Something that we already saw in 2006 when Hezbollah fired a Yakut missile towards an Israeli Navy ship.
Right.
Exactly. So they had those capabilities back then. So you can only imagine what they might have now.
And the difference is here is that we have, they're not mobile. They're stationary targets in the terms of natural gas platforms. And what has Israel done to adjust its naval capabilities to fend off a Hezbollah seaborne attack?
So Israel's new Navy ships, the new SAR 6 missile ships, are going to be armed with a naval Iron Dome. And they're going to be deployed really to protect those natural gas platforms. And the Army hopes that that's going to be the solution. But like I said before, nothing's 100%. So we're probably going to see a mix of both naval Iron Dome usage and as well probably the David Sling, which has a higher range an ability to hit incoming missiles from even from Iran.
And that's land and sea, air and sea. But we've recently seen tens of thousands of Israeli reservists, even during the time of the coronavirus, mobilizing and exercises in the north to deal with a potential land incursion by Hezbollah. What is Hezbollah planning besides the tunnel? I saw you had this amazing picture of a Hezbollah tunnel that had been blown up by the Israelis. One of the issues is that they had tried to go from Lebanon into Israel by way of this tunnel. But what is it doing in general with Israel besides blowing up tunnels of preparing for a potential Hezbollah land incursion?
Well, just to clarify, they didn't blow up the tunnel. That's something that they tend to do more on the Gaza front in Lebanon. And I actually had the chance to go into one of those tunnels. And trust me, they're incredible. I've been inside a Hamas tunnel. I've been inside a Palestinian Islamic Jihad tunnel. And nothing compares to what I saw in Hezbollah. And Israel flooded these tunnels with cement in order to prevent Hezbollah from using them. But that was just one aspect of their Conquer the Galilee plan. And Hezbollah, this is what they would like to do, is to conquer the Galilee. But what that means is that they would send in a battalion's worth or brigade's worth of troops, and they have that, and they have them set up like that. They're now referred to as a terror army by the chief of staff here. And they plan to come into Israel, to infiltrate into Israel, not underground anymore, but by land, by cutting the fence or smashing through the wall close to some Israeli communities in order to take over a community or military post, take as many pictures that they can of killing Israeli soldiers and civilians, planting the flag. And for them, that's enough, because the media is going to do the rest. In Israel, if you see pictures of dead civilians or dead soldiers, that hits a nerve. And Hezbollah knows that. And they know that they're not going to come back alive from a mission like that. But, you know, in the 80s or the 1970s, where Hezbollah or other Palestinian terror groups were to infiltrate into Israel and attack a bus or one family, now they're aiming to take over a village. If you look at Metula or Misgav Am, where I was today, they are on the border fence, less than a kilometer or two, and you have Kfar Kile or Adaitse, and those South Lebanese towns are military fortresses full of Hezbollah operatives waiting for the order to infiltrate and kill.
Now, we've spoken about the threat that Hezbollah poses to Israel, but Israel has also been conducting what is called a War Between Wars campaign against Iran's presence in Syria that's been intensifying with airstrikes nearly every week and sometimes every day. Is progress being made in degrading Iran's strength, or is Israel simply mowing the lawn of Iran's capabilities? And I want to ask you to please comment also on statements made by Israel's outgoing defense minister, Naftali Bennett, and its incoming defense minister, Benny Gantz, where they have now said that the goal is not to just degrade Iran's capability in Syria, but to eject all Iranian forces from that country.
Right. Now, that's the pushing Iran completely out was the goal from the beginning. They don't want Iran there. They don't want Hezbollah there because they don't want to see southern Syria or all of Syria turn into South Lebanon to be that front, like I told you about, from the Mediterranean to the Hermon. They want the entire area of South Syria and all of Syria wiped out of Iranian forces. Now, the comments made by senior defense ministers and senior officials of Iran withdrawing from Syria because of the war between war campaign, it's a little more complicated than that. The Iranians are in a massive crisis right now in Iran itself, and they're understanding that they're losing legitimacy in the eyes of their own people of being so far away from home. Why are they spending millions and millions in Syria, and they can't do that in Iran? So Israel's war between war campaign, which has been going on since 2011, 2013, has definitely been intensifying because they see that the move already by Iran, which has been happening for a few months already, of moving their forces closer to the Iraqi border and of withdrawing from several bases. And they're seeing, okay, well, they're stopping here. Let's see if we can up the ante a bit more and really push them out. At the same time, there are still thousands of Shiite militias that are trained and funded by Iran that are also withdrawing from Syria. And again, it's also because of the civil war winding down in Syria. And the there's no need for them there anymore. But they're also realizing that Israel is targeting these militias. So in Syria, it's very complicated. It's not just Israel's war between wars, which, yes, has been intensifying over the past few weeks. But it's also, if you look at what happened in January with Qasem Soleimani being taken out by the Americans, that had a massive effect. Qasem Soleimani was a symbol of Iran's regional plans. He was on the front lines. He was meeting with senior officials, even met with Putin a few times. The fact that he's out of the game has made Iran need to rethink their strategy, because his successor is not going to fill his shoes, and Iran knows that.
Now, that's Iran's conventional threat in Syria. But we've also seen in recent months Iran's ramping up of its nuclear program. How prepared is Israel to stop Iran if it races to produce a weapons-grade uranium bomb?
That's something that Israel actually last year put as a number two threat to Israel. It always used to be the number one threat, but then changed it to Hezbollah's precision missile project. That was the bigger threat. But Israel, of course, like we saw in Iraq, in Osirak in 84, like we saw in Syria also with their nuclear program, Israel has no qualms about taking a preemptive strike if being the big word, it deems it to be, a strategic threat. Right now, they're not seeing that yet.
Now, how prepared is Iran to respond militarily to an Israeli preemptive strike?
A preemptive strike on their nuclear program?
Or right. A preemptive strike Israel,
on Iranian...
No, to the nuclear program. So Israel decides to carry out a preemptive strike against Iran's nuclear facilities spread out across some 300-odd sites across Iran. How does Iran respond the day after or the moment after the strike is over?
I think definitely we'll see a major attack by all the proxy forces in the region, but not only against Israel. It would also be against the Americans, and that would also be in Iraq. But what Israel is really concerned about is not a preemptive Israeli strike on an Iranian nuclear facility, and how would Iran respond? But one little miscalculation by Israel or by the Americans is what is really concerning the Israelis right now, because they think that one little misstep could lead into a huge conflagration, which will, you know, reverberate across the entire Middle East. And it could start in the Gulf of Oman, it could start in Iraq, and in the end, it'll end up here in Israel.
Anna Arenheim, military affairs reporter for the Jerusalem Post. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
After these messages.